Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I would make this decision on my own if I were the person who emailed you. And look, be a man. And just, it's fantasy freaking football.
Mike Shope.
Make a call! You don't need his help. Figure it out. Go to a website. Download an app. What? You can't do it yourself? You need Mike's help?
And the Bulldog.
I don't know what to do. Who should I keep? It's not that hard. Pick a guy. You'll live.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Just get on with your life. It's no big deal.
The thing with Skinner, is it more or less interesting than it would be if the Sabres were good?
My opinion would be less interesting because it's the only interesting thing that's happened yet this year. If they were good, that'd be interesting.
And you wouldn't care. Like if Ralph Krueger could say, guys, what's the question? My lineup? Look at our record. Then, you know, good point. Scoreboard. It's not great either way. Like if the team is in first place, who's going to complain about whether Jeff Skinner plays? I mean, if you can imagine them being in first place without him really producing, like, it's not that hard, I guess. Then what are you going to say? Like the coach needs that. Without it, when your team is in last and its primary weakness is goal scoring, and a guy who's been a really good goal scorer in the league is on your team and you won't use him. Not to mention that he's making $9 million this year, or that's his cap hit. He's making 10. It's just a head scratcher. I mean, how do you get to Krueger here? I would guess, and please, I mean, this is only a guess. I don't know what's really going on here. It seems like nobody does, because Krueger won't stray from this is a hockey decision. And it just seems like there's something missing to this story. But I would guess that Skinner, maybe it goes back to last year, maybe it's a number of things, or maybe there was one big coming to a head moment, that Skinner did something to offend Krueger that I would probably understand being offended by. I probably would. I think there's probably something like that here. I don't want to talk like I know it because I don't know it. But Krueger, it's odd that this situation is being handled this way at all. I mean, Ralph Krueger could just not think that Jeff Skinner is very good. But like the numbers just all say different. His career, even with the Sabres in the beginning, he produced. So why would you think that? I don't know. Like let's just roll that out. Maybe, and this probably happens way more often than we hear about it in all sports, but in hockey, where the player in some extent was insubordinate. And I've made this point many times over the years in our jobs, even mine, where, you know, there is, you know, it's a little different than most jobs, but you answer to somebody. You're the employee. The player works for the coach in our sports minds. The player works for the coach. And if the player lashes back at the coach, I think most of us, our sensibilities are, well, that shouldn't be okay. It's not parent-child. It's employer-employee. It's coach-parent. We all played sports. The coach is the boss. So, you know, that's on a surface level, on a base level, pretty easy. It's just in the pros, with the money that the players make, it just is not going to work like that. And I wonder if, maybe we'll never know, but I wonder if Ralph Krueger is just sort of holding to trying to establish a legitimacy, a credibility as the coach that he's been challenged on, and his move is this. It'd be nice to hear Eichel say anything about it, but that isn't, you know, that hasn't happened yet. I don't know. Is that fair? He's the captain, but how many times do other players get involved in that? I just kind of want to hear Eichel say anything that seems meaningful. But I don't know. That's not the point. The point is that Krueger might have a good reason, or a reason we would understand, for wanting to discipline Skinner in this way. But there's an expression, you cut your nose off to spite your face. Like, he doesn't have a winning team, so who cares? If he doesn't have a winning team, he'll go first. He'll go before Jeff Skinner. And he might be able to leave whenever the time comes with pride. I'm like, I had to be the boss. I feel like the best coaches can shelve all of that. They can sort of take it and put the best interests of the team first. And I'll just close this point with, of course, Krueger is always going to say, and has said like every day, that he thinks this is in the best interest of his team, but I just don't. I don't know how it could be. I don't know how it could be. With the record they have, with their inability to score, with other players at forward, other forwards on the team, starting with Eakin, just really struggling, really helping to get the Sabres beat. How do you end up here? For three games in a row. My favorite point about it is, I mean, I think just the best point about it is, why should the coach have that much power? He doesn't make the money. The player makes more money. The owners own the team. Like, how does it ever get to this, where a guy making that kind of money doesn't play at all for a team that can't score goals or win games? How does it, see what I mean? Like, it's not as interesting as it could be. If they were winning, who cares? Do whatever you need to do, coach. We trust you. Sean McDermott benches somebody. I don't know. Is there an example? Not really. Mitch Morse. Like, if he takes somebody out, look, the guy's got a good record, so you just want to see it through. You want to give him the benefit of the doubt. This guy, I don't, because the record isn't any better than it was with Housley as the coach. If it is, it's barely better. So what are we listening to?
That kind of happened with the Bills, and I actually thought about this week with all the Skinner stuff, was Warren Spain, who had started like 20 games in a row for them. They had just signed him to an extension. Quentin Spain, thank you. Just PFF loved him, and like suddenly, boom, he's benched, and then he's gone, just like that. And it was like, all right, no one really cared, because they were great.
Yeah, there isn't.
They were throwing 500 yards a game. Like, who cares if you were that good?
There isn't a Bills example that really works because this is a star player. This is a standout name, a known player, and Bills guys are more just like less of that, where that's happened. You're right. All right, let's take some calls. 803-0550 is the number. Kevin is next. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Good.
First of all, real fast, I'm going to make a comment and just want your opinion on it, but I got to mention this. Yesterday, I had a pullover with the tuna story.
Yes.
Then today, my wife calls me and tells me she's going to come home from work and make tuna wraps. Long story short, I'm outside of a local establishment going in to get some fish fries. I was never laughing so hard. That was a great story.
All right.
You tried me to a T.
I'm just telling you, like, I have never felt my age more than that moment when saying, like, you know what I did today? I made a tuna casserole. I didn't climb a mountain.
It was so funny, though. The way you just did it, it was awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin.
10 years older than you, and you hit the nail right on the head.
You've had a few tuna casseroles in your day.
Yes, sir. Anyways, I couldn't agree with you more, but my point is Skinner, when you say disciplinary and all this, I've been following the Sabres when they were the Bisons. Now, I'm not a professional just like you when it comes to coaching, but this is a hockey town. This guy's got to give us some explanation and not beat around the bush. It makes no sense to me, and to the guys that I talk to, is the better for the team. I mean, a couple of years ago, he's in the top, 5-10 as far as score? Like,
40 goals.
He needs, Mr. Kruger either needs to realize what town he's in, because that's all I heard of what a great coach and how the players want to play for him. And you're right, we stink right now.
Yeah.
Less of a story if we were winning, who would care?
That's right. That's what it comes down to. Now, the coach, thank you, Kevin. I appreciate everything you said. If you have a losing record and you're a coach, you still need to do what you think is right. But I think there has to be more give in that than take. I mean, there has to be sort of an understanding here. Well, you said a lot, and I don't have a perfect follow-up ready, but I don't get it either. I wouldn't stand for it. Why does Yeah. I'll just move to the next guy. Thank you again, Kevin. Chris is next. Hi, Chris.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I can hear the frustration in your voice with Kruger. What it comes down to with me is, can this guy actually evaluate the talent that he has on the roster? And I think the Skinner thing shows it. I think going into the season saying that Rasmus Asplund and Arturo Ruotsalainen needed to prove themselves to make the team. Who on this team is holding those guys out of the lineup is what I want to know.
I agree with that. Especially Ruotsalainen. It looked like he really deserved a spot, but
yeah, these guys didn't get to play till 15 games in.
They love their development, the Sabres. Yep.
Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, Chris.
That, by the way, that's a point Bulldog's been harping on with the defensemen. Like, Will Borgen didn't get a shot until there were injuries.
Right.
Like, Matt Irwin, like a guy, a 30-plus-year-old defenseman on a one-year contract with no value long-term to the organization, was who they chose to go to first over Will Borgen. And then even Jacob Bryson, who was a draft pick a couple years ago, who's looked fine in his games as well. Like, those are two guys that have both impressed to some extent in limited action that might have never even touched the ice if they didn't have as many injuries as they do.
Let me go back to Kevin. I sort of got stuck trying to formulate a point about something he said when he's like, this is a hockey town. Ralph just needs to say it. I don't see that happening. And with a lot of guys, with most guys, maybe it doesn't. But I kind of felt that point. I mean, think of the last however many years it is since Lindy. You've had coaches here who just, it seems like most of the time, there's been this sort of something missing. Like, what is going on? People, you can carry that over to Eichel and sort of just wonder, what is going on with Eichel? Why can't this team win with him at the top? What is it? And so I always want more candor. I mean, I think that that's always better for everybody. And in sports, people tend to be very guarded. And it really just reminds me whenever this kind of point comes up, I think about Tim Murray, who was this way, and he was popular for it. I think McDermott on the Bills side, too. I think these guys don't realize they can get away with more, especially when they're winning games. With the Sabres, they've not had that luxury. But you just want sort of a realness and an honesty. Jason Botterill couldn't spit out a point. Phil Housley couldn't spit out a point. And Kruger he's articulate and he's bright, but it's weird right now. It's hockey, but it's also the language. Today, he said that he did not know that Jeff Skinner's agent had called Kevin Adams until it was brought up at the press conference. I mean, it's been in the news. You knew about it. How does he say he doesn't know about it? If I were Adams, I would be ticked off because that makes me look like I don't even work here. Like, they talk about their communication. Kruger talks about that. Paul was on. Paul's like, they talk about all these. Every one of these losing tandems with the Sabres, they've always had great communication. Murray and Bielsma, Botterill and Housley, Kruger and, I guess, Kevin Adams. We never hear from him. But they just always have the, that's not the problem. And it's Terry and Kim. Everybody's got great communication. But Kruger really said he did not even know that Jeff Skinner's agent had called the Sabres front office to discuss the situation, as has been reported, and not denied. I said, how is that possible? So I bet it did happen. I bet he did know about it. That would be my thinking. And to say that he didn't just makes Adams just look like a pawn. That is not good. Not to mention ownership. Why do you have to embarrass us like this? That's not an easy question to have to answer. Like, will this happen? And, well, maybe it is, actually. Maybe it is an easy question to answer. Yeah, I'm aware of it. We talked about it like we do all the time. And that's for management to deal with. Really, I'm just focused on winning games. That's it. That wasn't hard to answer, actually. I think it's very strange that Kruger denied even knowing about that. Next up is Dave. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm thinking in my mind, you know, if I was on this team, I'm starting to question Kruger. You know, we talk in pro sports, we talk about losing the locker room. You know, I'm on this team. I'm thinking there's no way you're convincing me that Casey Mittelstadt or Tage Thompson or any of those guys belongs in the lineup over Skinner. You know, and to me, this just feels hopeless. I mean, this Sabres team seems way worse than the Bills ever were. And the Bills didn't make the playoffs for 18 years. So this, I mean, it just seems like we're going down a trail into nothing.
What would you do if you were Eichel?
I don't know. That's a tough spot. I don't know what kind of relationship Kruger and Eichel have, but I mean, at my job anyways, if I got a problem, like, you know, I can go into my boss and say, hey, you know, why are we doing this? It doesn't make sense. I don't know if you do that in pro sports, but I mean,
yeah, you can. Thanks, Dave. Eichel, I guess, maybe has to be careful. I mean, he has somewhat of a reputation from earlier in his career at getting what he wanted in terms of coaching and management. He's in a tough position because he doesn't want to show up as coach. He doesn't want to even show up the other players that he thinks should be out so that Skinner could be in, if that's how he feels. You know, you might end up choosing to take that upstairs, but I think with the Sabres, maybe there really isn't an upstairs. Like, it's Kruger's. He talked about that today too, that he has the autonomy to make these kind of decisions. And so where is that going to get Jack Eichel if he goes upstairs? Like, but I think it could be tricky. I think where you end up is it's yet another difficulty that they're enduring, that he's enduring as a player on that team. And Eichel, for his part, has really just like, when was the last time he sort of stepped up and said something that would reinforce your confidence in his wanting to see this through? You know, like we're kind of ready for the next piece of that or phase of that. If it's in his mind if he's feeling it, right? That's where it has to start. There's a certain point I've sort of been like holding off making about Jack, and I really need to do that again, but I'm thinking about it. And it's just it can't be right now, but what do I really want? What do we really want from him right now? Like, do you want him going to the media and being like, yeah, Jeff should be in the lineup? Like, I don't know. That's not great. And I think he'd be right to think that that would make him look bad. But, you know, he might be right to think it. Most of us seem to think that that would be the right move, you know, for Skinner to be in. 803-0550 is the number. More of your calls next here on WGR.
Neither side is divulging much, and I've talked to both sides briefly, I would say, because, again, neither side is showing their hand in this, other than to say, look, there was a conversation between me and Kevin Adams. Good conversation. Both sides acknowledge that. Honest is the word that one side used, I won't say which side, to describe that conversation. But there's confusion, too, from the player's side. Does it make sense? Well, it makes sense from a coaching perspective to sit a player when you're not getting what you know you need from that player. And in this case, he's a $9 million per year player. That shouldn't matter if you're sending a message to the player, and then by extension, you're sending a broader message to the bigger group. I mean, who isn't paying attention when Ralph Krueger is scratching Jeff Skinner?
Darren Dreger on WGR this morning. Check it out, radio.com or WGR550.com. Ralph Krueger today said, when getting a question about this conversation that Dreger is speaking about as having been known and discussed, Krueger said he didn't even know it happened. And that is just very tough. And it's a hard sell if you're talking about how well everybody communicates when you have an issue of this magnitude and then your answer is, well, we didn't talk about it. Just come on. Come on with this team. I'll tell you what, Joe, and I'm not in the market. If I bought a hockey team, I would not stand for this. $9 million in the press box? There aren't 25 guys in the league making more money than Skinner. What am I paying him for? Well, in this case, to watch. It's supposed to be for the greater good. The record is not good enough for me to assume that or expect it.
I wonder how much of it is too, how much like this team wants to play like the Islanders. And does that mean that they have a coach that won't stand for such a one-dimensional offensive player in the top of his lineup? Like, I hope that's not a part of this equation, because he'll never be that player. But also, they signed him after Krueger was hired as the head coach. Like, he would have, I assumed, have been a part of those conversations about, like, what are you going to do with this player? And at that point, he had 8 years of tape. Like, we knew who the player was. So, it's so strange to me that, like, you can look at all of the numbers, and you don't even have to look at that advanced of analytics. You could just divide his goal production by the minutes of ice time he played last season and see, oh, it actually wasn't that bad. Like, is that analytics?
First on the team last year in 5-on-5 goals per 60.
Yeah.
Last year. Not the 40-goal year, last year.
But even this year, like, it's not the goal scoring, but this year, his high danger scoring chance total, or his number, is higher than it was even when he scored 40 goals. So there are signs, if you even look at, you don't have to look at expected goals or these numbers with algorithms where you've got to kind of figure out like what it means. You can look at very simple numbers to realize that he's not, you know, that he's getting unlucky.
Yeah. Here's Scott with us. Hi, Scott.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted your take on, you know, what responsibility falls on Eichel with everything that's going on. I think you could place him in a top-tier player in the NHL, and he's got some pieces around him, and it just seems like some of these other superstar teams, you know, their superstars always seem to carry them, you know, to the playoffs regardless of who the GM or coach or, you know, what the other situations are. Like, what responsibility do you place on him?
For what?
Well, as far as taking us to the playoffs and taking us to that next step.
For the last 5-plus years?
Yeah.
Not a lot.
And what?
Yeah. He's been the best player or second best player on the team. Maybe there's a third best. Maybe not. Every single year. You know, I mean, who's the best player in the league? McDavid?
Yes.
How many times has he been in the playoffs?
True.
I think there's only so much the player can do. I'm not an apologist for him, Scott. I don't see myself as one. I will say, like, again, if it's my team, I'm sort of living in this fantasy lately where I feel like I'm talking about it as if it's my team. If it's my team, there is a rule in this organization that no player is bigger than the team. Not even Jeff Skinner, Joe. I know. No player is bigger than the team. So if I can make my team better by getting rid of any player, I am not close to it. I don't think it's likely I can make the Sabres better in a Jack Eichel trade, but I'm not close to it. And I think that's probably how they feel over there. But, you know, it would be a pretty deft piece of work to get that done in a way that doesn't just sort of ruin the situation, whether that's the fans or the lineup or something. But I always use the same line. I'm sorry for not being more creative or well-versed, but it's Ralph Kiner. from Kruger, from Ralph Kruger to Ralph Kiner. Ralph Kiner would say he was the Met broadcaster for many years and a slugger for the Pirates in his playing days, and the Pirates are always bad. And he would, he talked about how he'd go in for a raise, and they would say, "Ralph, we can lose with you or we can lose without you." And he wouldn't get his raise. You have a losing team here, nothing should be off the table. That's how I look at it. Thank you, Scott. Or I'm sorry, was that Scott? I think it was. I hope I'm right. This is Scott. Welcome to WGR.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
I'd love to know the
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The truth amongst the players and everybody associated with what goes on the ice, it goes with coaching too. When you have any other job in the world and you and your buddies after work go out for a beer and you're all equals, everybody in that room knows what the problem is. And they'll vent with each other and they all can tell you what the problem is. I'd love to know what the uncensored opinion is amongst the players and the administration of what the issue is here. I know that my call isn't going to get the answer, and I don't think anybody out there listening is going to have that answer. But, man, wouldn't it be nice to be a fly on the wall, you know, or that they say when you're working in the everyday world, when it's time to leave the job, they do what's called an exit interview. Have you been part of one of those before?
Probably. I've had this job for a very long time, but probably.
It's probably the best time to get an honest answer back from the person going out. I'd love to know that answer from everyone and see what the majority of the reason for what this problem is, what they think.
Well, you know, thanks, Scott. It's tempting, maybe it's easy, and it's also probably off point to take the last 5 years or the last 10 as one thing, because the Sabres have had some variation in their weaknesses over this period of time. But their biggest weakness continues to be scoring and scoring depth. They don't score enough goals. As good as Eichel is, as good as Reinhardt is, as good as Skinner and Hall have been, they don't score enough goals. They do not generate enough offense. And I feel like there have to be enough good players on this roster. It's a salary cap league where the worst teams draft first. Teams do not usually have many more high-end offensive players than the Sabres have right now and had last year and had the 2 or 3 years before that, and they still can't score. And there are several reasons for that, or main reasons for that, some of which might be beyond my knowledge or understanding. But a couple are that you don't have enough depth in the lineup to be able to take advantage more of situations and be a better team overall. The bottom of the Sabre forward units get crushed and have to varying degrees for years. The Sobotka experience. The other guys. I mean, this Eakin group, right? Especially him. Like, you take him out of, you know, you can do that with some of the stats and you take your chances. It's not always going to be rock solid, but like that is hurting the Sabres badly. But you can't replace him with a 40-goal scorer, usually. Or can you with Skinner? I'm not trying to be cute here. you really can't. You can't expect to do that. So your team ends up getting run over. Another is your approach, your style, your approach to the game. And many signs, including the coach's own words, about this team this year, it's defense first. He talks about Jack Eichel playing a role. He talks about, you know, the way Dahlin seems to play, where you wonder if guys on the team just feel like they have any freedom. The NHL can have a lot of that. I mean, that's not a problem or a reality unique to the Sabres. But yes, I mean, Joe said it too, and we've said it for days or weeks. This team wants, it's low event. Look at the stats. They want to play a game. They apparently want to play a game where both teams, you have to be this way. You suffer just out of necessity. You want to play a game where chances are down. And I don't know. I feel a little bit, you can laugh. I feel a little bit less qualified than I think I should be for just sitting here like a hockey coach could and being like, I know that's wrong. But it feels wrong. It feels when you have a roster like this, like that it's wrong. But, you know, if a coach, if Kruger or somebody were sitting here explaining it to me, I might understand it better and sort of want to defer to it. This team, though, has the kind of roster where it should be more of an offense-based team, I think. But lastly, like, a lot of hockey coaches seem to operate this way. And even football coaches we've listened to over the years, where your defense wins championships. Your defense is how you can do it. I think it's an equalizer and a winning strategy when you don't have the high-end players. But I think this team does. And so from a strategic standpoint, and I think also easily from an entertainment standpoint, I'd want them to be different. And that could frustrate the players. And that's really to Scott's question. What do the players think? I got to think some of the players on the team wish they could put the pedal down when they play. And maybe there's a restrictor plate. Maybe there are nuances in their system where that's just not happening or allowed to happen.
I think there are. I've been noticing more and more because I picked up on it a couple weeks ago, that every time Dahlin coming through the neutral zone with speed gets to like the red line, he passes it. Like, he finds a guy to hit in stride. He normally puts it on the tape, and those forwards go in. And you almost never see him like carry it in himself. That could just be him. That could just be he's a pass-first player, and he'll always do that. But couldn't that also be he's being told by the coaches, hey, when you get to the red line, get that puck off your stick because you need to be back because we're playing this style.
Like, I've heard Kruger talk about him and sort of explain that. Not explain it, but mention it. Like, learning with the puck off your stick, learning without the puck on your stick. I mean, when we learned of Dahlin as a – first overall pick, as the guy the Sabres are going to get, the highlights are just insane, and all you see is Dahlin just carrying the puck all through teams and scoring. You know, you have a guy capable of that. So maybe, I don't know. That's another thing that I think is tough to know what exactly they want, But, man, what a waste. Bottom line, what a waste. What a waste to have this collection of players and be such a low-scoring team year after year after year. How is it even possible? When you go for your next coach, which may not be that far off, offense is paramount. Bruce Boudreau is available. That's the guy. That's the guy you want. Offense is paramount. And if the Sabres are going to do everything like the Bills in an effort to emulate the Bills, this should be one of the things. Because the Bills finally got good. When? When their offense was paramount. And within that, their passing offense. And they were insanely good. Do not treat that like a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. And I know it's a different sport, but if you're going to try to run the two teams the same way and use the Bills as a model, how about we do that too? How about we do this too? You've already got a roster that is talented enough to do that to some extent. Let's see them do it. Let's let them do it. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Sneaky Joe, this is WGR.
No, I love being a Sabre. I love the city of Buffalo. I mean, I wouldn't have chosen to stay here if that wasn't the case. So that answer is simple, no.
Jeff Skinner, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. More on the Sabres through until 7. Joe, you're on at 7?
Yes, I am.
And I bet there's more even then. Here's Greg next. Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys. How you doing, man?
Fine.
I'm aggravated. I can't handle it anymore, man. It's like, it's every year it's the same crap. You get these coaches that take players and they got a round peg and try and put it in a square. It doesn't freaking work. If you look at the Patriots, and I hate saying this, but if you look at the Patriots and you look at what they've done all the years and why they've had success, it's because they take players and they put them in positions to succeed. Ralph Kruger is not putting anybody in a position to succeed. Skinner should not be on a third or fourth line. He's a top six forward. You're paying him $9 million a season. You're paying him to score goals. You're not paying him to play defense, and I get that it's part of the game, but as a coach, you need to devise a plan, put the player in a position to succeed, and put players with him that support him that will play defense while he goes and scores freaking goals. I'm done. This guy needs to go. I'm finished with this. I can't watch this team anymore. And it kills me. I'm a freaking season ticket holder. I have zero desire to go to a hockey game after a year and being told that I can't. I'm at a loss. I'm so freaking aggravated. It's not even funny.
I believe you. If you're at all worried that that's not coming across, don't be.
But I don't think it is. When is management going to do something? Adams should be in Kruger's office demanding, just saying, you put Skinner in the lineup in the top six, either get him on a line with Eichel or get him on a line with Stahl, or I'll find somebody that does. That's it.
And yeah.
Pagulas aren't going to do anything. Sell the freaking team to somebody that will. Because what they've done with this hockey team is disgusting. We are the joke of the NHL. And we're trash. It's horrible, and it kills me. I've been a fan of this team since I was 5 freaking years old. I've been a season ticket holder for 20 damn years. I can't take this crap anymore.
I feel you, Greg. You're doing great. Thank you. Just wanted to tell you your passion and sincerity was coming across. That's all I meant. I don't want to follow that. That guy speaks for many, many fans. We'll have more on the Sabres next hour. Can I say one thing, by the way, that isn't about the Sabres? I don't know who I'm asking. Joe, today is the 57th day of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
I have this push-up thing I'm doing. That means today 57 push-ups, tomorrow 58, mm-hmm. next day 59, and so on. Yesterday, I did it. 56 was yesterday. I did the 56. But last evening, for the first time, I was hurting. Like my shoulders and back are starting to hurt. And I was up most of the night just from turning around and turning in bed.
Oh, right.
So I think...
Side sleeper?
I do not... maybe.
That's going to make it harder.
I do not want to quit. But I think I might need a complimentary exercise or workout or something. I've thought about, like, read about my back a little bit, like just sort of stretching. So I don't know. Like, if I'm going to actually do 365 push-ups a day when it gets to New Year's Eve, that many push-ups, like, every day through the year. But tonight is 57. I've got 10 to go.
No, you're talking about, like, 1,000 push-ups, by the way, within, like, a three-day span.
At the end of December.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's going to be many thousands in the end. I don't want to quit, but I'm hurting, and I don't want pills. Like, I don't think I should need to take medicine, because that's a slippery, that's just not where I want to be. So I'm looking for a suggestion, not calls. I don't want to get, like, just have the show be about that. But if somebody has a suggestion, email me. I'm going to be Googling and trying to read on it over the weekend and sort of try to figure out how do I keep going without being in pain. I mean, I've never done any sort of muscle work in my life. And here I am doing 56 push-ups a day, 57, 58. It's a lot. For me, it's a lot.
The first thing I think of is, like, I'm not the expert on this by any means, but I do work out at the gym a couple times a week, and I'm always sure to eat protein after. I mean, that I don't get as sore as I used to. I don't know if that has anything to do with it or if I'm just more used to the exercises. But that's just the first thing that popped into my head. Just, like, make sure you're eating a ton of protein. But that doesn't have to be right. I don't know.
I'm not the best person to ask. I'm changing my diet, which I definitely should, it would be dramatic.
Just throw a protein bar in there. You don't need to do nothing crazy.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. I'm looking for advice like that. So thank you. Paul coming up, more on the Sabres, and then we'll have some different kind of fun later on next hour. Stay tuned. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.